The third speaker this morning is John Walcombe, who I assume is in the room somewhere. John is the chair of Go West and the chair of Regional Development Australia and the IRANA division. He's speaking on building businesses to sustain rural communities, but I'm looking at the props that are appearing. We'll be interested to see what John does talk about. Please welcome John.
Thanks, Di. Thanks, Sally.
Yeah, no, it's fine, mate.
Thanks, everybody. My name's John Walcombe. I'm chair of RDA IRANA, member of RDAC, chair of GRNSW, chair of the SC committee, treasurer of D&D JRL, DC JRL, G11 JRL, member of the DCC, the DCDC, CMA, and TA every week. So life is full of acronyms, yet we complicate by doing so. I'm simply an ordinary guy, grew up in downtown Dubbo, started out in business at the age of 15. The education was through the School of Hard Knocks. So over the last 35 years, I've been able to, through practical experience, develop some principles that I've found that work and work really well. Needless to say, some of them are quite simple. Currently, I'm managing director of a company called Techniclean Australia. We have offices in Dubbo, Sydney, Canberra and Brisbane. They specialise in cleaning hard surfaces. It was established in Dubbo. We took it to the market back in 1998-99. We now currently employ some 60 people. We have off branches of that. We have another company called Techniseal Australia, which supplies products. We also have another company called Technology, which delivers IT to our companies, plus to the broader community, business communities. And it's all started from Dubbo. What I want to talk about today is what we can do along the way. And what I'm going to do, just as I talk, I'll stop and just go to my little bucket, and I'll come back and we can talk some more. That might take a while, but anyway, how long have I got? Half hour? Beautiful. As in my role as chairman of originally Go West, which was a state regional development board, and then we changed the name, it was called the IRANA Regional Development Board, we changed the name to Go West because we thought it was more descriptive, because we wanted people to move west from Sydney, from the sandstone curtain, so we called it Go West. And then over the last couple of years with the new federal government and the state governments and doing different things and aligning, they've developed Regional Development Australia, which is both the state and federal bodies now coming together. So I was fortunate enough to be given the job, or some cases people would say unfortunate, to chair Regional Development Australia, IRANA. But along the way, networking moments, I was at a Men of League dinner, and I know you guys around here certainly know about the Men of League, a great organisation. I was having lunch, I was sitting next to this guy and introduced myself and told him the sort of things I do, and asked him what he did, and he was telling me all about just what he was up to, and it was this printed electronic media. I'm sort of thinking, anyway, we discussed it some more, and then I said to him, you need to establish that in a regional area. He said, do you think so? I said, yeah, for sure. So we had a few more chats and we swapped cards, and a couple of weeks later I give him a call and said, Peter, it's John Walcombe, just thought I'd give you a call, mate. That conversation we had the other day was quite intriguing, and I think we need to continue it. Hence we continued the conversation, and some 4.5 years later we now have a commitment from now what was originally called STODA, which stood for State of the Art Technology. But as they've grown their business, when you go to places like South Africa and you use the word STOTA, you find out that that's not a very nice word to use. So they decided that they needed to change it. So now they're calling themselves Southern Cross Electronic Printing. So, which is more descriptive, because Southern Cross, which is Australian Electronic Printing. So what's come of that is now that they're committed to set up their manufacturing facility, which will be set up in Dubbo. It will employ, they're estimating, somewhere from 250 to 1,000 people as a minimum. It will manufacture for a third of the world market, so it'll do the Asia, South Pacific, China, and also into some of the Middle Eastern countries. And people say, "Phew, there's a lot of work in that, and it's a hard job." Yes, there's a lot of work in it, but you only get it if you make the approach. If you don't make the approach, if we sit back in rural areas in regional New South Wales, it's not going to happen. The story that I got from it, or the thing that I got from it, was you have to go. You have to go and let people know what we've got. It's just not about sitting back here and saying, you know, how can we get them? We've got people moving away and things like that. And I'll cover more on that. I want to be jumping too far ahead if I get too involved in that. But I just thought that the Stoda example, or the Southern Cross example, is a classic one, and that we needed to share here today, because it's diversifying our community, which is an agriculture and a service-based community, is now becoming a community that will be known as the printed circuit capital of Australia and potentially the Pacific. It will open up more doors than I care to think, because they're looking at something around about $750 million as an export industry to start off with, and they reckon that'll quickly grow to $1 billion. They've come up with a lighting concept that absolutely blows the mind. It's a sheet of paper that you use as a light. It uses, without going into the intricate details, it uses 10% of the electricity that's currently used from a fluoro light. It cuts the heating bill the cooling bill by 75%, because it doesn't create any heat. And 75% of the cooling that you use is used to cool the environment, because of the heat that's caused by the lighting that we use. Its immediate impact on the federal government's Kyoto protocols that it signed will allow them to have something like, I think it's about 30% of the commitment met by the introduction of this lighting into buildings. It can be retrofit, so effectively where we see a lot of fluoros in big department stores, they'll have it, but it'll just be adapted. It'll be a sheet of paper, and believe me, that's all it is. That has printed circuitry on it, and with an adapter, and that'll just plug into a fluoro fitting, or to a conventional mercury lighting like we have in here. That type of fitting will just fit in, and will do exactly the same job as what we see happens here now. So it's very exciting. So that's on the lighting side, let alone what they're doing with their printed electronics. And you'll walk into in the very near future, you'll walk into your supermarket and you'll be walking along the cereal aisle and you'll have a box that will be illuminated. And you'll wonder, how in the hell is that illuminated? And what it is just the box, because of the electronic circuitry that's printed into the box. It'll sit on a pad, and the pad will be 12 volt, and that'll conduct electricity enough to make that light up. So you'll have something like Buy Me, or 97% fat free, or you know, gluten free, or whatever they want to sell. That's what will be on the box, and that's what the Southern Cross is all about. So that's just to give you a little bit of a history on Southern Cross and the sort of benefits it'll have to our community. But the sort of thing they looked at when they wanted to come to Dubbo wasn't about, Jesus, is there a block of land big enough? What's the cost of the building? When Peter Simons came to Dubbo and we took him for a tour around the town, the sort of things he wanted to see was, you wanted to see what sort of housing is available, what sort of hospitals are available, what's the education like, all the way from infants right through to tertiary and university. You want to know what our medical system was like. He wanted to know what our shopping environment was like, and he wanted to know what sort of social problems that we had and how we addressed them. Then after that, once he ticked all those boxes, they said, right, okay, we've got a block of land big enough. And I thought, how interesting. He wasn't interested in the council saying, yeah, look, you know, we'll do this and we'll give you free this and free that and all that. He wasn't interested in that. He was just interested in the fact whether he could bring 250 or generate jobs to 250 people, to 1,000 people. He knew, he had to be reassured that the community could accept that. And after he could do that, that's when, as I said, he went and spoke to council. A lot of you guys might be sitting here thinking, well, that's Dubbo and they've got 40,000 people, what can we do? You know, we've got a small community and it's only got 2,000 or 3,000 people or 150 people or 700 people or whatever the case may be. What can we do? Well, I want to share a story with you. It's about, and you might have heard a little bit about it, it's called the Rent a Farmhouse Project. And we're going from one extreme here on how regional cities can benefit from what they can do to bring bigger business and diversify their communities, to communities that are suffering. Back in 2008, Cumnock had a school with 38 pupils. At the end of that year, in 2009, they were going to drop down to something like 31. They would automatically lose one teacher, the teacher's aide, and the lady from the office. The bus run was going to be stopped. There was a woman there by the name of Christine Weston. She spoke to her husband who went to the school and he said, I can remember there was 68 students at the school. So she thought, well, what am I going to do? So she went around and she asked a few people about what she was going to do and they threw a few ideas up and she thought, we've got all these farmhouses that are just, some were very dilapidated and some were quite livable. She said, well, let's rent them and we'll rent them for $1 a week and if we can get half a dozen families in with a couple of kids, that'll give us our 7 or 8 kids that we need for the school to keep our numbers up. So we'll try something. So she went about doing something. She came up with the Rent a Farmhouse idea and she spoke to the community, went to the Progress Association and all that. They all said, you're stark raving mad, it won't work. All you'll do is get all the social misfits and put them in our community and it'll be a burden. So Christine wasn't worried too much, too worried about that, so she went and spoke to a few of her friends and her husband and herself and two other friends decided they'd do it. The Westons had one house, the two other friends, one of them had one house, another one had two houses, that was 4 houses. So they decided they'd rent them for $1 a week and they went through the legal process with solicitors and real estate agents and got all that sorted. She then thought, what am I going to do about it? So she was talking to a friend that worked for Channel 9. Anyway, within a week, she'd had a phone call from a current affairs, and the guy at current affairs said, we want to do a story on this. They'd done a story on it. She then thought, well, I need a website. So she got onto a guy in Perth who does community websites for free. They'd done a single page with just a little photo gallery attached to it. It then went on. They worked it out that she could only take, I think it was 1,000 hits at a time they could take. And they worked it out and said, that's okay, because of daylight savings, and they've got to be in Melbourne at one time, and Sydney, and then in the regional areas another time, Queensland another time, so yeah, that'll be fine, we'll be able to work through that, that's no dramas. Anyway, away they went. It ran on a Friday night. They got 5,500 hits within the first hour. The system went into meltdown, they fixed it all up, and I think they had something like 11,500 hits. They had 150 people apply for the 4 farmhouses and they narrowed that down because they had a criteria down to 12 and from the 12 they picked the 4 to go in. From that, all the houses in Cumnock were leased out. So in January of 2009, Cumnock had more transactions on housing than their nearest regional cities of Dubbo and Orange. All because of one woman. Their school now has an extra teacher. The bus run that was going to be stopped now has a bigger bus. And they have a teacher's aide and an administration officer. All from one person. Now, I know it's the same. Class is too slow. It's not applicable to us. Well, when Christine Weston started off, you know what they said to her? It's not going to work, it's not applicable to us. Who wants to come to Cumnock? And the story is, that there was a stack of people that wanted to come along. She has 850 families registered that want to move into a farmhouse in regional New South Wales. No specific area. So it's a simple thing that gets the results. There's nothing, the moral of this story is we don't have to go out and reinvent any wheel. We don't have to do anything that's bigger and better than anybody else. We just got to do things a little bit better. We've got to do 50 things 2% better, not one thing 100% better. And that's what Christine Weston done, and that's what we carried out when we wanted Stota to come to Dubbo. I knew that guy needed loving, and I was going to give him all the loving he needed to get to Dubbo. I took him, I submersed him into our community. I wanted him to see what our community was all about. And that's what we need to do. It doesn't matter whether we're at Dubbo or Narrabri or Bourke or Cumnock or Weewall, doesn't matter where we're at. That's the sort of thing that we need to do to get people into our community. I see it all the time, and I go around, and I know we all get whipped, and it's all right for me to sit up here and say that because, oh, you're just trying to motivate us. Bloody heck, I am. Because I know it works. How am I going for time? 20 minutes, you said? 10, sorry. So, just moving along a little bit, because I don't want to get too bogged on that, because I get a bit passionate about it, because I understand that it does work, and I'm happy to talk to anyone about it so that I can help your communities. I wasn't here yesterday, but I picked up on a story where there was, you know, we were talking about the mining industry, and particularly up in this region, how the mining industry is impacting on our communities, because it's taking our workforces, and we can't compete because we can't pay them the wages that the mining is doing, and therefore, well, we've got to stop the mining. And that's going to happen in our region, in Arana region. It's happening now, and there's going to be more mines, and it's going to happen. It's happening in the central west. We're not going to stop the mines. That's just not going to happen. Our country over the next 50 years is going to be mined and mined and mined. We will have more mines than rabbit burrows because we have so much resource in the ground. The world is growing. They're predicting the world population to go from 6 million to 9 million. Peak population. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what we do, we're not going to stop it. My recommendation is throw out a line, jump on and go for the ride. But while we go for the ride, there's ways we can go about it. Because if the world's population's got to grow by 3 million over the next 30 or 40 years, which, by the way, if you look at Australia's population over the last 60 years, has grown by 100%, now they're going to say over the next 40 years we're going to grow by 60%. It's really not that scary. It's scary after all, but that's just the fact of what's going to happen. But what we can do is all those other people in the world need somewhere to live. Let's invite them to live out here. We done it in the 40s and the 50s with all the Italians and the Greeks. We done it in the 70s with the Vietnamese. We done it in the 80s and the 90s with the Middle Easterns. And we're doing it now with people from all around the world and the boat people. So it's our social responsibility. We will have 14 million people this year land on our doorstep looking for somewhere to live. Again, whether we like it or not, that's just going to happen. So let's use it to our advantage. We get served up a lemon, let's turn it into lemonade. So because we're looking for people that need to take the jobs of these people that are going to go and, instead of working on a farm for $35,000 a year, going to go and drive a bus to take people to the mine for $70,000 a year, half their luck. But let's go and get some people that are immigrating into the country that live on two bowls of rice a day. Let's invite them to come and live in our communities. Let's bring them in, submerge them into the community, and don't say it's not applicable to us because it is. It's just a matter of how you want to handle it. Yes, there's going to be some problems, there'll be some social dysfunctionality happen because they're not accustomed and all the rest, but that, with every good thing comes a bad. But it's only what you turn it into that makes it happen. And that's what regional development's all about. We won't get anything, they're not going to open up the sandstone curtain with any great two-lane highways or anything like that to bring people to regional New South Wales. They can't afford it. They have to fill the basin before they fill regional New South Wales. We will get some spin-off from it. There is no doubt. But we have to bring that forward, and it's up to us as communities to expedite that. And we can expedite that by simply looking outside of the box and looking at immigration as number one, because they're going to come to Australia. They don't know what Australia's like. I talk to people, I'm in Sydney 3 days a week, and I talk to people about regional New South Wales, and they've got no idea at all what it's all about. None whatsoever. They think that we don't even have tarred main streets. They want to know, one of the kids that I was talking to at boarding school wanted to know where we got our food from. So in other words, where do we go to the shop? They didn't think we had any shops. I spoke to another kid, he goes on holidays every year, from Roseville to Mascot and out. He has never been past Parramatta. He has never been to the south of Sydney. He's never been to Cronulla, the Shire. Never been there. Sad, but that's a fact. Right, so that's what I'm saying. That's what we're working with that all the time. So I just see the benefits of immigration being all too important for us to grow our communities. I don't know whether you just know where I'm going with this, but you probably do. Last night, when I was sitting at the table, and I was sitting with Paula and John, and they were just down here, and they were talking, and I just grabbed a pen because there were some really key words, and I'm sure that we can relate to it. And those key words were all part of what community, what we expect as community. And the words were community, diversity, belief in self, social amenities, technology, science, money, happiness, employment. And to me, if I went around the room and asked for the 10 most popular things, or 10 things in the community, I reckon a lot of those would rate in the top 10. So it's not that we're poles apart, we're all pretty much on the same wavelength. It's just that we need to work together as communities with some ideas and bring them to the table and take them to the politicians. The politicians need to be whipped. Right? And they're looking for ideas. So I mean that in a friendly way. I don't mean they need to be whipped because we don't like them. They just need to be whipped. They need the ideas. It creates accountability for them and back to their communities. And I know sometimes it falls on deaf ears, but at the end of the day, we've got to clean those ears out and make sure they're not too deaf. And that's why I see that regional development and building businesses in regional New South Wales is our responsibility. We live in these communities because, well, I'm working on the assumption that we live in these communities because we have a belief in these communities and we love these communities and we want our communities to succeed. And I believe we can do that. The thing is, we've got to understand the glass is half full, not half empty. From little things, big things will grow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. We've got time for a couple of questions. Has to be one question out there.
If I knew this, I would organise one.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yep. As part of the criteria is that they had some, there was some employment opportunities in the community, so they had to be able to fulfil those communities. So they had to have children. The children had to be of school age. They had to have some qualifications. So for argument's sake, they were looking for a plumber and they got a plumber. They're looking for a motor mechanic, they got a motor mechanic, and they're looking for a builder and they got a builder. Okay, they got an IT guy who based his business out of there because he just liked the lifestyle, and it goes on and on. Now, some of the houses in Cumnock itself, where people moved in because they were renting them for either, some of them were 50, 100 or 150 a week. They got some families moved in that had some social problems. So what's happened now, it's thrown a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons, because the Area Health Service is now saying, how can we, you know, service these, but their clients, they've become clients, how do we service them? Right? Because previously they weren't going to come knock, because they didn't have to, because the population was going backwards. So while there's a debate whether this, some of these, by having a system like this, is going to put burden on the health system, the thing is, we want our communities to grow. And if they're going to grow, we're going to have that. As I said earlier, you fix one problem, you'll create another. That's just life. So, but that's how they fix that. They just made sure that the people that will come in the communities could fill a job, a skill need that the community would require. Thanks, Di, and thanks for the opportunity.
Please join me in thanking John.